such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Father.
Water there for you?
Thank you. Cold water.
Yeah.
How did you know?
It wasn't me. It was Jasmine.
And I just saw her coming out. She's let me in.
I only think of myself, you know, so I just bring my own water. So anyway, let's start with prayer, okay?
Yes, good place to start.
We'll go from there. So let's see. Let me just get my bearings straight here. All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this very critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our nation the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And now, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Well, I don't want to waste any time. I want to go into this article. Yesterday was the feast of St. Maria Goretti, who was a virgin and a martyr. She was born of a poor family in Corinaldi, Italy, in 1890, and spent her childhood assisting her mother in domestic duties, and very pious from a very religious family, often at prayer. In 1902, she was stabbed to death, preferring to die rather than be raped. I want to read, after I share this with you, I want to read from, this was actually what was spoken at her canonization by Pope Pius XII, the homily at the canonization, which is really, I think we might have shared it last year, or probably maybe every year, but it's just a reminder of what we're up against. And, you know, I often say that adulthood is trying to return to innocence. But unfortunately, with technology, with television, in the cinema, in Disneyland, Disney World.
It's funny because that's the thing I was thinking when you say, and you've said this often, and I really believe this, how the evil one perverts something like that. So it's getting, yeah. I mean, if you look at today, you look at even Disney, you look at what they want to teach kids in kindergarten. It's the total opposite of what the real...
Completely.
Right. And if one can't see it, it's sad. But then I understand the devil's allure and the devil's, you know, when you're enthralled and you can't see the truth.
Yeah, so that takes me right into this article. It's a commentary by John Horvath, who's the imaginative conservative. But this guy's got some really profound, deep articles, and I want to share this with you because it goes right into what you're mm-hmm. what you're saying. It's entitled "How Childhood Innocence Strikes Terror into Drag Queens." And I'm just going to share this with you as it's written here. Suddenly, a new figure has appeared on the scene, invading public places, libraries, and schools. His appearance is shocking and lewd. He is the drag queen who demands the right to read stories and have access to toddlers and children. There is no explanation why he must read his stories about sexual fluidity to little children. Nothing like this has ever been done. He does it because he can do it. A decadent society lets him do it. The media actively promotes these indoctrination sessions as manifestations of tolerance and diversity. The drag queen makes no secret of his links to the LGBTQ+ movement, and he serves as its unofficial spokesman to the children. He is not reading fairy tales, but telling toddlers that men can be women and that same-sex marriages are good under the label of family-friendly entertainment. Wow. Schools, libraries, and other public places become platforms for his anti-Christian morality message. Now, anybody who doesn't know that this is happening, you know, because it's been going on for some time. Thus, parents have every right to reject this shameless advocacy that will corrupt their children and present sinful relationships in a favorable light. Indeed, one drag queen in Lafayette, Louisiana, admitted at a town hearing that the purpose of his performance is to be the grooming of the next generation.
Wow.
While not every child will attend these events, the children who do will spread their confusing messages to those who don't. The eventual goal is the mainstreaming of drag queens. Reportedly, Michigan's lesbian attorney general, Dana Nessel, mockingly called for a drag queen in every school. Taco Bell is holding drag queen events in its restaurants.
Wow.
The target is childhood innocence. These reasons are enough to demand the closing down of these morally toxic shows. Children must be protected from exposure to lewd men in dresses with sinful messages. And parents, informed by the church, not the media, are the ones to judge the moral dangers of these shows. However, the program's target is not only to expose children to immoral ideas. Children have something specific that terrifies the drag queen. And for this reason, he targets children and seeks to rid them of their special quality. That quality is childhood innocence. Innocence is the child's ability to see everything in a spirit of harmony that God puts into the soul. It allows a child to be open to all forms of rectitude, marvelousness, purity, and beauty found in the nature of things. For example, the child, a young boy, develops a notion of how things should be. He imagines the ideal models of things. This perception facilitates a relationship with God as the author of the harmony and marvels that the child sees, imagines, and loves. It encourages the practice of virtue and creates a desire for heaven. Everyone has a witness's childhood innocence. The child exhibits this marveling spirit with great exuberance toward the good, the true, and the beautiful, and a rejection of the contrary. During early childhood, the boy develops his first certainties. He will be full of admiration, trust, and hope that comes from the joy of new life. All these things develop inside this wonder world of childhood innocence. And you think about that, you know. Think about when you were a child. I resonate with this, you know. Mm-hmm. We have a school, and all the years of my priesthood, we've had a school. Most of my years are here, 32 years here, and 6 years at St. Hyacinth's. We had a school there as well. And the children, I mean, if you really want to, you go to the kindergartners, to the first graders, the second graders, the third graders, and you see that. By the time they get into junior high already, you can see that things are changing, right? Mm-hmm. But the children, thank God, our children are not subjected to this kind of indoctrination in our schools. Unfortunately, because of the world they live in, they're being subjected to all kinds of perversions, all kinds of they're being robbed of their innocence. And I hear this from parents all the time, you know, about their, and in many cases, we're talking a lot of girls in their, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old who want to be boys or think they're boys or they're in love with their, you know, because they're subjected to this stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and so everything has been distorted and perverted, robbing them of their innocence. But anyway, let me go on. Again, this is John Horvat. This special gift of innocence must be protected against evil, sin, and deception. With an underdeveloped intelligence, the young boy lacks the understanding of these elements. He's using young boy, it could be girl as well, mm-hmm. the young child. I'll say the young child lacks the understanding of these elements that invade his marvelous world. As he grows older, he will develop new criteria and find ways of combating evil without breaking his internal harmony. Indeed, innocence is not only for children, but a harmony that must be mature, that must mature throughout a person's life. And that's why I say as we become adults and we deviate from innocence, there's this desire to return to the innocence. It's deep-seated, I would hope that would be the case in people's lives, this deep-seated desire to return to innocence, or in a sense, it's a return to the Garden of Eden, right? Mm-hmm. Return to God. And quite frankly, I hear this in the confessional all the time, especially when people have been away for a long time, and they, by the grace of God, they experience an interior desire to set things right. And it really is a time of great grief for where they had been or what they had done, often over the course of many, 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 many years. So they come with a grief, but at the same time, that grief turns to joy in the experience of the greatest attribute of God, which is His mercy, as experienced in the sacrament of reconciliation. In any case, for this reason, children have always been protected against these things contrary to innocence. Parents are especially vigilant, or should be, against the extreme intemperance caused by sins of impurity that shatter this internal harmony. Exposing a child to such evils breaks its innocence and sends the child on the road to cynicism, distrust, and sin. Alas, many problems with youngsters today can be traced to this slaughter of innocence. So true. Drag queen story hours must be seen in this context. This is not entertainment, but a highly sexualized and cowardly assault on childhood innocence. It presents a garish, vulgar, sinister world that idolizes sinful situations that clash with the innocent child's marvelous and pure world. The result is confusion, contradiction, and chaos in the child's mind, which he spreads to those around him. And again, you kind of mentioned it, the indoctrination, what's going on in the public schools, mm-hmm. What was the book that we mentioned this last week? Gender Queer or Queer Gender?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Just unbelievable. Yeah. But so that these little children even being subjected to the how-tos and the different options and, again, all this stuff.
It's not for kids. I don't even see how these people, and I shouldn't say these people, but I mean, I don't know how the thinking, other than the fact that it's a ugly way of forcing this on innocent children.
Let me continue. I'll give you the answer.
Oh, I can
okay.
See.
All right, don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
Can you help St. Stanislaus Kostka Church? The church was constructed over 150 years ago, and despite its age, has maintained its sacred and timeless beauty. There is a realization that our shared spaces need to be upgraded with items such as a wheelchair lift for the lower church, new men and women's bathrooms, and the creation of space for meetings and hospitality, as well as more accessible wheelchair access. Visit ststandschurch.org, ststandschurch.org, for complete details on the renovation and what you can do to help.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony. So, however, the innocent child also represents a threat to the drag queen. The drag queen fears the innocent child. This seems hardly possible, since the small child is usually not a threat to anyone, mm-hmm. right? They are the most vulnerable members of society. This same innocent child terrifies the drag queen as he does all who are given to the disordered passions of sin, passions and sin. There are 3 reasons for this fear. The first reason is that the innocent child is a constant indictment that contrasts with the drag queen's iniquitous ways. The child's presence represents virtue in its most exuberant in pure form, a form that cannot exist in the dark underworld of the drag queen. The child's desire to imagine an ideal world excludes the drag queen's fantasies that distort that innocent world.
Oh.
By contrast, he calls the drag queen's bluff by proclaiming happiness lies in the harmony of innocence, forcing the drag queen to see his internal disharmony.
Mm-hmm.
He then desires to eliminate this rebuke, the drag queen desires to eliminate this rebuke by inviting the innocent child to be part of his warped world. So, secondly, this indictment carries with it a rejection. The innocent child instinctively and implicitly knows what is good or bad, beautiful or ugly. Like the innocent child denouncing the emperor's new clothes, he recognizes the drag queen as ugly and sinister as a wicked witch in a fairy tale. The child does not bend to the politically correct opinions and says what he thinks. The innocent child represents the rejection of the drag queen. The latter, the drag queen, craves universal and unconditional acceptance. Adults and teens can be intimidated by the overbearing culture to accept the drag queen. However, the young child does not sense this intimidation inside his wonder world. Thus, the drag queen seeks out the young child to force his acceptance inside the context of a weaponized story hour.
Wow.
So, finally, the innocent child represents a constant problem for the drag queen because he is naturally turned toward the good, the true, and the beautiful. Every innocent child becomes a personal enemy that must be forced to accept the drag queen. It is an eternal fight that reoccurs with each passing generation. By exposing the innocent child to his message early in life, the drag queen hopes to mitigate the damage caused by innocence, damage, quote unquote, in a facetious way saying this, the damage caused by innocence. He will indeed quicken society's descent into decadence and facilitate his acceptance. However, as long as there is a threat to, of a young child crying out that the emperor is naked, the drag queen is vulnerable. The drag queen works under the illusion that early exposure will groom a generation of acceptance that will in turn generate a similar one. However, he implicitly knows that nature works against him. The innocent child will always initially desire purity and God. Thus, the drag queen disproportionately insists on the story hours. He is an anti-missionary. His anti-gospel calls for the abolition of all moral restraint, freedom for every license and sin. He targets the most vulnerable. He will not tolerate opposition. Those who accept drag queen story hours see attending these events with their children as a signal to fellow liberals that they are tolerant of the most radical trends of the day. Members of the liberal establishment embrace the drag queen as a revolutionary symbol of free speech. Innocent children are thus double victims. However, for Christians and parents, this fight involves the eternal salvation of children's souls. For this reason, drag queen story hours have generated a firestorm across America with hundreds of protests. So many rightly oppose this attack upon that God-given childhood innocence that prepares a soul to live a virtuous life and to desire heaven. So much is at stake in this battle. The child that survives abortion, think about this, the child that survives abortion must now be subject to such indoctrination. The ghastly shows must stop. They are corrupting innocent children. It is of these that our Lord Jesus Christ said, "But he that shall scandalize one of these little ones that believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone should be hanged about his neck and that he should be drowned in the depth of the sea." Such is the damage to little souls. This is some of the harshest words that Jesus speaks in the gospel in defense of the innocence of children or the innocence of innocence, period. Very interesting. Very interesting. Wow. Because basically, what's happening here is child abuse. And you know, what's interesting, and you know, I have to say this, but I really have to say this. The scandals that have occurred in the priesthood that we've been subjected to for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
Could there be anything worse than the abuse of a child, or anybody, but a child, or a teenager, whatever. It's the diabolic here, the infiltration of evil. I say we're in this diabolical disorientation, but you know, when Jesus says, Peter, I pray for you that you strengthen your brothers, because you must know that Satan means to sift you all like wheat. And so the need for the reform of the priesthood, I say reform, really, in all what that means, a return to a life of asceticism, a nurturing daily of one's consecration to Christ, knowing that one is in spiritual combat, knowing that, yes, Satan means to sift us all like wheat, strike the shepherd, the sheep scatter. If we become lax, if we see our lives as a profession rather than a consecration, a vocation, a consecration taken from among the people, that Jesus reproduces life in us in order to govern, to sanctify, Well, it's just like I say for every man, you know, that men must look to the horizon, see the battle that's coming, the storm that's brewing there on the horizon, in order to prepare. They must protect and provide for their people. So it's not just of the priesthood, but it's all men, all fathers, all men, period. But everybody's called into this. And I just use the priesthood as an example, because I don't know that we'll ever know the extent to which people have been deeply, deeply harmed by these horrific scandals that have plagued the church. And it's not just the Catholic Church. We're understanding now that it's everywhere. But certainly we've been a point of reference, and you know. But marriage, family. The other day, were we talking about the sexual revolution and the consequences or the ramifications? We're really experiencing this in a very, very big way today. And I think this article, this commentary, this reflection on the robbing innocent, the innocence of a child, that this whole drag queen story hour, which is it's an abuse, or what they're trying to indoctrinate the children, and the fact that children have access to stuff that we never had access to, you know, because they've got their cell phones and they're really quite savvy when it comes to the internet. It's a very interesting time, a very strange, very sad time that we're living in. We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to share with you the homily. It's not too long, of Pope Pius the 12th at the canonization of Saint Maria Goretti, because what we really do need is to be awakened, reawakened to the great need for chastity, the virtue of virginity, to inculcate that, right? To speak about that, even with the whole abortion issue. You know, again, what brings what causes the conception of a child in the sacred womb of the mother? But it's the union of man and woman in the act of sex. But if sex is reduced to that of play or sport, or just, you know what I'm saying? It's everything is so, again, this is this diabolical disorientation. Everything is upside down. The perversion, the distortion, the free reign of the flesh, that is not good for the present well-being and the future well-being of our society. It's really a tragic time we're living in, and really it calls us to awaken to who we are as Christians and to really get into the fight, and we're really in a position of where we have to defend our faith, the sanctity of the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit. We'll take a break and then we'll come back, and I want to read you the homily of Pope Pius XII on the canonization of Saint Maria Goretti. All right, don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
We are the students of St. Stan Zakowska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony. Winds of Change here with Tony.
Change.
I mean, I got this tiredness in my voice today, you know. So Tony was saying, you know, just before the break, I had shared with all of you this article by, or this commentary by John Horvat, the imaginative conservative. And I and people, you got to know that I'm a conservative. When I say that, I mean I believe we have to conserve what's been handed down to us, in that sense. But this article, "How Childhood Innocence Strikes Terror into Drag Queens," and Tony, what we said, tell me.
It's funny because, Father, aside from a lot of things going through my mind right now, I every time you kept saying "drag queen," I started thinking of dragon.
Dragon, yeah.
And just thinking about how the dragon goes after the innocents.
Yeah.
And you could almost, even in this what you just read, I'm so, and I honestly think one time in my life I would have said, oh yeah, that sounds interesting, but I'm not interested. But it's so clear now when you think of a dragon. Drag queen,
well,
going after innocence.
From the book of Revelation.
And that's...
The heavens open, the ark appeared, and then the woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, a crown of 12 stars, pregnant with child, and a dragon sits and waits for the for her to give birth in order to devour the child. This is a very... the dragon, and of course it's identified, the dragon is the ancient serpent, Satan. In the book of Revelation, it says, the pericope, the passage concludes, because the dragon has no power over the child. The child is, of course, Christ. When Jesus passes through death into the resurrection, Satan has no power over him, so he goes in pursuit of the woman. Now, that woman, in a singular way, represents the Mother of God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, but she too, in a singular way, represents the Mother of God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, but also the Church, because Holy Mother Church, again, Jesus says, Peter, I pray for you that you strengthen your brothers, because you need to know that Satan means to sift you all like wheat. Strike the shepherd and the sheep scatter. But then he goes, the dragon goes after the woman. She escapes. It's this cryptic language in reference to her. Basically, you know, she after she passes through death and in the assumption she has, Satan has no power over her. So the scripture is very, very pointed that the dragon goes to the shore of the sea, and there he waits for her children.
Right.
Those who obey the commandments of God and give witness to Jesus. I mean, we have to keep going back to that, you know. He waits for her children, those who keep the commandments and give witness to Jesus. Very interesting.
And it all applies, too. I don't know if you have to get to an age where you start seeing these things. I don't know if it's a matter of you get to a point when you know the faith, or you delve into Scripture, and you then, it's almost like, I think that's the best way to say it, the veil comes off your eyes.
Right, yeah.
And you look at the world today, and how could you not look at these things and say, wow, I understand now.
Right.
You know, that clicks.
Isn't that the hope, though, that right now, it's everything is so blatantly in your face.
Yeah.
The masks, you know, as Pope Benedict said, you know, the false deities will be unmasked. Am I saying that right?
Unmasked.
I feel like I've got this real tiredness in my throat and my voice today. Mm-hmm. Will be unmasked with the suffering faith of humble believers. That's my hope, mm-hmm. is that people are saying, wait a minute, this is, again, I think I said Tuesday, I think we were talking about this, and, you know, and I've actually repeated it many times, but like right now, our time in history, it's like you can't be on the fence.
Yeah.
Jesus is, you got to declare yourself. You're with me or you're against me. It's the Christ or the Antichrist. By the way, you know, I recall on Tuesday I had said that I was going to make reference to a Democratic and a Republican president, and I mentioned John Fitzgerald Kennedy, who said, ask not what your nation can do for you, but what you can do for your nation. But I never got into the Republican,
right.
Who was President Reagan, and I don't know word for word, but I think he said that we must remember that this republic, this nation can go down in just one generation, can be destroyed in just a generation. Didn't he say something to that effect?
Which I think is probably close to being accomplished.
Accomplished.
I really, so scary, so frightening. That's another thing. I don't want to be that, but it's my nature to be, you know, I don't know,
well,
non-pessimistic.
Yeah, no, it's very hard and not to be, because you see what's going on and you see the power of the media and how we're being canceled and shut down, and, you know, we have to, you know, and see what the evil, this is the thing that's so insidious, evil, insidious, the same thing, but it comes across as compassion.
Yeah.
Inclusivity, right? We're getting, like, as I mentioned, as he mentions in the article, you know, that people go into this, or just like the gay pride parade, which was really vulgar. The pictures that you see are, but the families that are there, but because, you know, because we got to prove ourselves to be tolerant.
Yes.
We're accepting of behavior that is really decadent behavior. Mm-hmm. That parade is not. That is a decadent. That's decadence.
Yeah.
Decadence. You just hope that people are, especially with this indoctrination, what they're trying to bring into the schools and have in many schools, that parents are starting to stand up. And
see, I wonder if people see, because I try not to look at things as Democrat, Republican, but it's interesting that when you sit back and make that observation, it seems that it's only one side that is pushing this. So I hate to say, because there are good people on all sides of this, I think.
Yeah, I'm not.
Again, I may get in trouble from that. I know I've got in trouble for that. But
you know, I don't want to get into the whole Republican, Democrat, whatever.
It's not that. But when you start looking and you start seeing who are the people, like, again, when we were thinking about the dragon, I was thinking about Pelosi. She said something about it. There should be a drag queen hour everywhere, something like that. I might be, you know, not really saying that to what, but I heard.
Oh, no, it wasn't. Who said that?
Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, you heard that?
Yeah, she said that. She made some kind of statement.
So that's what the attorney general or the district attorney or whatever was.
Maybe he's talking in rep. But Sam, I'm just sitting here putting the pieces together, and I think to myself, you know, I don't want to talk about Nancy Pelosi, but I've heard such things I can't agree with coming out of her mind. And then I think about how people then say, well, yeah, you know, unless it's a matter of these are the people representing this agenda. And I hate you know, you got to think about these things.
But even, you know, the
what is happening here?
To give lip service to God or to, you know, publicly proclaim your being a devoted or devout Catholic, and yet to be so adamant in advocating abortion, or this, as you said, this other, all this stuff, and then to be reprimanded by your bishop in San Francisco, and that, you know, you're not to receive Holy Communion.
Right.
You're a public figure, and then within a few days, within I think 5 days, she's at the Vatican. You know, and is that?
I'm sorry. I want to be that compassionate person that says, "Dear God, help Nancy Pelosi. I pray that she realizes what she's doing." But there's more than that. So it's like at this point, I don't know if you just, like you said, for the homily, you know, if this is not right teaching, and it might be, you know, this is the way I'm thinking about it, you just, you know, brush the dirt off your shoes and move on.
Yeah, Jesus said that.
You know, it's like you have to come to this realization
sometimes. Peace when you're not gonna, but don't misrepresent.
Exactly.
Don't make mockery of our faith or make mockery of our Lord. This is a sacrilege.
Yeah.
This is a blatant sacrilege, and it's happening in so many sectors of the church. And we find, you know, again, it goes back to the Anawim. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, St. John the Baptist. I've forgotten what context we were talking about this, but it's believed that his family, Zechariah and Elizabeth, St. John the Baptist, that the family were part of the Essenes. This was a group of Jews who, and certainly these are relations related to the Blessed Mother and therefore to Jesus, but that they went into they went into the desert in order to live a pure Judaism. Again, it's when corruption infiltrates, as is happening today in a big way, the radical secularized society is infiltrating the church. I dare say, really, again, we can water things down, we can give lip service, but we can't deny the fact that this has happened. And so it's like people are saying, well, what do we do? You know, yeah, shake the dust from your feet, leave peace, but preserve and protect what's been handed down to you. And you get it's the mystique of the Anawim, you know, the little flock. We only have about 10 minutes. Okay. I want to just get this, read this in view of all this that we're talking about. This is the homily given by Pope Pius XII at the canonization of St. Maria Goretti, who was, she wouldn't allow herself to be raped, and so she was stabbed to death. So he writes, it is well known how this young girl had to face a bitter struggle with no way to defend herself. Without warning, a vicious stranger burst upon her, bent on raping her and destroying her childhood purity. in that moment of crisis, she could have spoken to her Redeemer in the words of that classic Imitation of Christ, Though tested and plagued by a host of misfortunes, I have no fear so long as your grace is with me. It is my strength, stronger than any adversary. It helps me and gives me guidance. With splendid courage, she surrendered herself to God and His grace, and so gave her life to protect her virginity. The life of this simple girl, I shall concern myself only with highlights, we can see as worthy of heaven. Even today, people can look upon it with admiration and respect. Parents can learn from her story how to raise their God-given children in virtue, courage, and holiness. They can learn to train them in the Catholic faith so that when put to the test, God's grace will support them and they will come through undefeated, unscathed, and untarnished. From Maria's story, carefree children and young people with their zest for life can learn not to be led astray by attractive pleasures, which are not only ephemeral and empty, but also sinful. Instead, they can fix their sights on achieving Christian moral perfection, however difficult and hazardous that course may prove. With determination and God's help, all of us can attain that goal by persistent effort and prayer. Not all of us are expected to die a martyr's death, but we are all called to the pursuit of Christian virtue. This demands strength of character, though it may not match that of this innocent girl. Still, a constant, persistent, and relentless effort is asked for us right up to the moment of our death. This may be conceived as a slow, steady martyrdom, which Christ urged upon us when He said, "The kingdom of heaven is set upon and laid waste by violent forces." So let us all, with God's grace, strive to reach the goal that the example of the Virgin Martyr, St. Maria Goretti, sets before us. Through her prayers to the Redeemer, may all of us, each of us, in his own way, joyfully try to follow the inspiring example of Maria Goretti, who now enjoys eternal happiness in heaven. It's very beautiful. But wow, what parents are up against today, right?
Yeah.
To try to protect their children. You know, again, what does he say? By God's grace, we'll support them. Yet parents can learn from her story how to raise their God-given children in virtue, courage, and holiness. That means there's got to be prayer in the home. The family has to be unfortunately, this is part of the problem today, is that we're suffering a massive apostasy, a going away from the faith. Guilty of all kinds of idolatries, you know, because the seductive nature of the society, again, this radically secularized society that makes everything seem okay, except, as we were speaking earlier, the dark side of this is really manifesting itself.
Yeah.
And that people, they got to see that if they've got, unless they're completely lost. And we were talking about this senator who was, I think we even mentioned it the other day, I'm not sure, but the senator who was twerking, yeah. Twerking, so gross. And yet, you know, who would have you mentioned during the break, but no shame.
That's what it is.
No shame.
I think it's a little bit about what's happening already. People, there's no shame in this. When you think of somebody twerking, you know, this is what everybody does. Or it gives you the illusion of that's what everybody does. But
yeah, it is
it's an interesting time.
So yeah, the parents, you know, that they raise their children, God-given children.
Do people really believe that?
Courage
though?
And
think
holiness,
about it.
Yeah.
If we can kill a child in the womb, it's...
And even that, let me maybe take a look here at St. Paul. I was reading this morning, mm-hmm. too, from St. Paul. He says, I declare that and testify to the Lord. Let's see, where is it? I've got this. He says, therefore, you know, putting away falsehood, because this is, you know, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor. If we are members one of another, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun set on your anger, and do not leave room for the devil. The thief must no longer steal, but rather labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with one in need. No foul language should come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for needed edification, that it may impart grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, and reviling must be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you in Christ. So be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God for a fragrant aroma. Immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be mentioned among you, as is fitting among holy ones. No obscenity or silly or suggestive talk, which is out of place, but instead thanksgiving. Be sure of this, that no immoral or impure or greedy person, that is, an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Just think about that.
Yeah.
In view of what's
powerful
happening today.
Words.
Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the disobedient. So do not be associated with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them. Expose them. That's what that John Horvat is doing in that article with these drag queens or dragons, as you say, which really is so appropriate. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them, for it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Watch carefully, then, how you live, not as foolish persons, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not continue in ignorance, but try to understand what is the will of the Lord. And do not get drunk on wine in which lies debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing and to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father. Draw your strength from the Lord, from his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits. Therefore, put on the armor of God that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to hold your ground. Stand fast, with your loins girded in truth, clothed with righteousness as a breastplate, and your feet shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, hold faith as a shield to quench all flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and supplication, pray at every opportunity in the Spirit. To that end, be watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the holy ones, and also for me, that speech may be given me to open my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, so that I may have the courage to speak as I must. And with that, we'll say goodbye. Almighty God bless all of you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Ciao.